This is Spirit Network Radio, a BBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today, we're going to have a discussion about paganism, and more specifically, the practices of Wicca. But before I introduce my special guest, Kathy, however, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor today. Today's show is brought to you by Intuitive Consultants of Lancaster, PA. John and Maggie provide hypnotherapy, past life regression, and clairvoyant readings. They also offer controlled remote viewing, a proven tool to find lost objects and pets. Many of their services are available online worldwide. Visit their website at www.intuitiveconsultants.net or call them at 717-340-2121. If you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have many advertising options. Our show is not just live, but they're archived on BBS website, and their podcast is available on iTunes, so your message plays on to reach many people long after the broadcast. Simply email radio@spiritnetwork.com. Now, my very special guest today is a Wiccan. What is that? Is that a witch? Many of us have a lot of preconceived notions about that, including myself, I have to admit, but Kathy Hunt is here today to explain what Wicca is, what it isn't, and Kathy's located in the Gettysburg, PA area, and she's not only a practicing Wiccan, but she's also an excellent tarot reader, and I can personally vouch for that. Now, if you'd like to call the studio and talk to Kathy today, if you have any question at all, just call us at 888-627-6008, and that's a toll-free number. Again, it's 888-627-6008. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, before we explain the facts, you know, because I'm very excited to hear all that you have to share, because, you know, I've known you for a while, but to be honest with you, I mean, there's still so much. We are so different, and that's one of the things I actually love about you. But before we get to the facts, I'm going to learn so much today. Let's talk about your history. I know, I mean, I've known you for a long time, but, you know, these are conversations we've never really had before, so that's exciting to me.
Absolutely.
So your history, is there something that you were attached to this since you were a small child? I mean, was there someone that was who specially influenced you?
You know, that is an interesting question and something that I have actually been researching for a very, very long time. I've always felt somewhat connected to certain elements, especially nature. And even as a child, I had an affinity for different things that would maybe scare other children. I liked Halloween. I liked to dress up. I liked to be afraid.
Well, who doesn't like candy?
Yeah, that's for sure. but those things never frightened me. And I always felt like I had some sort of connection to it. But because of my upbringing, I really kept it at bay. It was always at arm's length, even though it always continued to kind of circle back around. There is nobody in my specific family, no family members or anybody in my life that ever introduced it to me. It was something that I actually discovered on my own.
Hmm. Were you well accepted?
By my family members?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like you and I haven't never had that conversation specifically.
Right.
Never had that conversation with them either. I mean, it's not something that I didn't think anybody would be surprised to hear, and I certainly don't keep it a secret. And, you know, posting on social media and doing tarot readings in the store that I had a lot of pagan influences. So it's not like it would be simple for someone to figure out, but it wasn't something that I've ever had.
Right. They just saw it as you were growing up. I mean, like for me, you know, I'm a little different, obviously, but I think I just got a lot of eyeball rolls, like, you know, that's Francine.
Right. Yeah. I've had plenty of those, trust me. No, there's never been anything. There's never been anybody that's tried to convince me that I was wrong. People were more than anything, I think there is a sincere interest in the whole religion and the whole the way of life and the thought processes that are behind it, because we've been triggered for so many years to associate the word pagan with Satan, which is there's no relationship there whatsoever.
Okay.
So you always felt that that was something that was evil or dark or bad. So as soon as you heard that, you would shun it and you didn't speak of it. So when you hear somebody proclaim that they're pagan, you know, you get a preconceived notion in your head, and I'm here clear that up.
Let's do that now. Tell me exactly what paganism is. I mean, because I know it to be something, and I have a feeling that that's the original meaning, and I don't think that that's where I'm at now.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, years ago, of course, if you looked up pagan in Webster's Dictionary, you know, the actual book that nobody has anymore,
right?
you would have seen the definition country dweller. I mean, that's basically what a pagan was.
Mm-hmm.
They were considered to be heathens because they were they studied polytheism, which was the reverence of multiple gods or gods, goddesses, and that it was, you know, there was not one primary god or one primary influence or energy in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, Native Americans are pagans. They worship many different gods. Today, if you look up the word pagan, you'll get a very different meaning. It's kind of evolved, just like other, you know, we add words to the dictionary and definitions do change over the years. So paganism has a little bit of a different terminology if you were to look it up today, and it is much more broad. It talks about just that, you know, following a polytheistic way of life, worshiping or believing in more than one god or goddess. You know, there's roughly 300 million pagans worldwide at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people a lot of different religions out there that you wouldn't necessarily associate with paganism that certainly are.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what, like, can you tell me a little bit about these gods and goddesses? I mean, you know, is there one that's in charge?
There's really not. And I mean, it really depends. The beauty of paganism and Wicca in general mm-hmm. is that there is no specific doctrine. There's no rules. There's no laws to follow. It really is based on harm none. Do as you will, but mm-hmm. harm none. I mean, that's the central theme of most pagan religions. And if you think about it, it's very similar to Christianity. Do unto your neighbor. Same thing. It's all it's all about what comes around goes around. It's karmic based.
Sure.
So there's
okay.
not really a specific god or goddess.
So we would really say that paganism is the difference between that and Christianity, though. It's not really an organized religion. It's
definitely
a disorganized religion.
That's definitely not. They're definitely not an organized religion. And Christianity, of course, is monotheistic. It has one god. So there's your biggest difference, of course. But there are some sects of the Wicca or paganism that do believe that Akasha or the Akashic record is really where the elements pull from, you know, the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, which are central in these particular religions, that Akasha is where they get their energy from. The Akashic record has been described many times as the record of all existence. Everything that's gone on, everything that will go on, everything that's going on now simultaneously is maintained in the Akashic record. But is there one specific god or goddess? No, because the basis of all of these religions, these pagan religions, is balance. Can't have God without goddess. So
okay,
one of the very,
so mm-hmm. that's when you hear mother, father, God kind of thing. It's, they always add the genders to it or they keep it balanced.
Directly, absolutely.
That makes sense. Now, of course, if there's not one in charge as far mm-hmm. as gods or goddesses, there must be some that are really popular. How many are there? I mean, how many do you actually pray to or whatever it is you do?
Well, when you first begin to study paganism as mm-hmm. a whole, and I just want to take a moment just to separate the difference between Wicca.
Oh, yeah, we
Wiccan,
do.
Somebody who's Wiccan and pagan. It's like comparing Catholics to Christians. All Catholics are Christian.
Right.
But not all Christians are Catholic. So all Wiccans are pagan, but not all pagans identify themselves as being Wiccan. There are several different types of pagan groups, Gardnerian, Dianthic. There's lots and lots of different types of pagan groups out there. So
okay.
Just to clear that up, but the one thing that you do when you very first start to study it is you do want to find your own pantheon, basically. And that's just the group of gods or goddesses that you're going to identify with the most. Personally, I'm all about the Greeks. So I have a specific god and a specific goddess that are central in my life. They're on my altar. They're who I go to for guidance and strength and, you know, in my times of need.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So there's actually different groups. Can you just, I mean, I know Greeks are your favorite, but can you share with us what other groups there are?
Sure. I mean, some people follow a Roman tradition. Some people follow an Egyptian tradition. Egyptian is really a very popular tradition. Isis, specifically, a very popular goddess, so to speak. And then, to be very honest with you, there's a whole Christian tradition where they would use the saints and Mother Mary and Jesus as their primary god and goddess. And then all of the saints from the Catholic religion would be different entities or deities that they would go to for different things. It's very similar. Oh. You'd be very surprised.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So a lot of Christians may not know that they have a lot of pagan leanings.
They probably don't, but they're definitely there.
Wow. Okay. So more about the difference between the Wiccan and the pagan, once you're a pagan and you've kind of been attracted to a lot of things that pagans have in common, regardless of the group, what made you go over to Wiccan and explain that difference?
You know, actually, Francie and I, it's really kind of the opposite way for me.
Uh-huh.
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
Catholic is a very structured religion for anyone who doesn't know.
Sure.
There are very specific things that are done when you're in church. Kneel, stand, pray, bow your head. You know, very specific ritualistic things that you do. They burn incense. They light candles. They, receive communion where they're accepting the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And these things are just very ritualistic. So when you're leaving that religion and you're attracted to paganism or Wicca, you're really trying to make an easy transition because it's something that you're not, you know, you kind of feel like you're doing the wrong thing. You kind of feel like something is out of whack here and that, you know, you've been raised your whole entire life to think that this was on the dark side and now you're trying to step into it. So you want to step into it as easily as possible. And Wicca is actually much more structured. Most Wiccan traditions are very structured. They have specific, the Wiccan reed is something that is very popular within that particular tradition. The charge of the goddess. There's a lot of things that are followed more structurally than in some of the other pagan traditions. When you do ritual as a Wiccan, there are certain ways that you would set up your altar. You would cast a circle to protect yourself. If you were doing a spell, there would be different things that you might gather as a Wiccan. Whereas being a pagan, you can use those things. You can do pretty much whatever you want, but it's not as structured. So that's really where the difference is.
Do you think you were attracted to that because Catholic was so structured?
Yeah.
I mean, you already had these disciplines.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Okay, yeah. So I have another question. I have a lot of them, but I hope so, right? We got to keep the show going. But I do have a question about the Wiccan and the witch.
Okay.
So witches are all Wiccans, or Wiccans are all witches?
You know, people identify themselves as a witch, regardless of whether they're Wiccan or pagan or just plain witches. Being a witch just is a further clarification of what you might do. You know, of course, we associate being a witch with Halloween, of course.
Right.
Hollywood has taken its own spin on the witch for years, and, you know, it's really not very pleasant what they've done to that particular the identity of that person. You know, identifying yourself as a witch, which I certainly do, for me, personally, it really just further defines my belief system. I'm definitely lean towards the healer. I deal a lot with herbs, I deal a lot with crystals. Anything that I would do in ritual would most likely be to offer some sort of healing advice or some sort of amending of something that's occurred, you know, bringing things back together.
Mm-hmm.
So the witch, although she can certainly do good, there, again, with paganism or anything else, there has to be balance. So if you have a god and goddess, you have to have dark and light, you have to have good and evil. Even the holidays are designed that way. There has to be balance. So being a witch, you're capable of doing all of those things. It's just what you choose to do that defines you from other people.
So we could talk about the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good example, though. Because you've got Glinda, and then you have the Wicked Witch. And that's both sides of the same coin.
Right. And Glinda probably has the capabilities of she chooses to be a good witch.
That's right. That's
you're a good witch, right?
Yes, I am.
I know you are. It's okay. Well, I do want to talk a little bit more about that, but I just want to see if I can get us to up to speed here. So from what I understand, all Wiccans are witches, but not all witches are Wiccans. All Wiccans are pagans, but not all pagans are Wiccans. And finally, some witches are pagans and...
Oh, yeah, that's a nice big round circle you created there, Francine. That was wonderful.
That's all.
No,
I
mean,
it's
all about a name. It's just what you identify with. You know, it's you are clairvoyant or are you a psychic? What do you want to call yourself today?
Well, that's
it's one of those types of situations. It's just what you identify with. If you don't like the terminology witch, and another thing I want to mention is that witch has no gender. A man that is a witch is not a warlock. That's actually a derogatory term.
Okay.
So a witch is a witch whether you're male or female. And some people just don't identify with that terminology.
So we want to get that absolute political correctness.
That's
right.
But
what about a wizard?
That's kind of a different sect altogether. But, you could certainly call somebody a wizard if they felt that they were.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole term of warlock is something that most men who are pagan do not associate with that and actually become a bit offended by it. So,
well, the reason I pick it apart, is because these are the questions people obviously want to know.
Sure.
But you're saying it can be more relaxed than that. It's who you want to be. It's
right. It really
free
is.
Love, and I'm thinking about the '60s. All of us.
You got it. Well, and that's really when that's kind of when the whole Wiccan tradition was relaunched by Gerald Gardner. So, you're right on point there. It was all about the '60s and free love and. It was in the mid-50s that it actually, was reintroduced. So,
yeah, well, when I think about this, when I was a kid, I was very interested in a lot of, not really maybe witchcraft or, but it kind of, there was kind of some occult leanings back then. Mm-hmm. And my mother used to get books from some book club that, the kind that came every month and you forgot to send it back. So they charged you for it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there was I found a box full of books she never read that was palm reading and all kinds of divinations and astrology and a lot of, things that were pagan that would have been considered pagan. So I can understand that was a big trend.
Sure.
But a lot of evolution has happened since then. So what I want to know now is because, this whole, it's almost like extraterrestrial life to me. you have your whole different world here.
Right.
So what I actually want to know is a little bit about, there are pagan holidays and are they also the same as the Wiccan holidays? So give us a little clarity on that.
Yeah, Wiccan and pagan people basically follow the same wheel of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There are 8 holidays, pagan holidays. 4 of them are considered the greater Sabbats, and they're really cross quarters. If you were to look at a pagan wheel, you would see that it's broken up based on the on nature and the seasons. I mean, it's really, when you really boil it down, that's what it's all about. We all have the ability to go with that universal flow. That you're not going to go outside in the winter in a bikini. Well, that's pretty much what this is reinforcing. Follow, you don't want to eat things that are out of season. You want to... In the dark of the year, at this time of the year, you want to start to reflect and to start to go inward and plan for the new season and the new crops. What are you going to plant at the planting season next year that you're going to be able to cultivate all year long and then to be able to harvest and digest and learn from? And that's really what it's all about. And the pagan wheel of the year helps you through that cycle. It normally starts out with Yule, which is the winter solstice. Which, remarkably enough, coincides with, Christian Christmas. Then it moves on to one of the major Sabbats, which is pronounced different ways, but it's Imbolgi is what it is, and that's in February. Ostara, which is the spring equinox, coincides with Easter. And remarkably enough, the goddess Ostara, or Eostre, excuse me, is her main animals are rabbits, and she is represented by the egg. Sound familiar to you?
Yes. And how would that be celebrated?
It's a fertility celebration. So it's all about spring and things becoming more fertile. That's where you get the rabbits and the eggs from. You know, that was one of my questions that I had as a child growing up that nobody could ever answer for me in the Christian faith. What does Jesus have to do with eggs and rabbits?
Right.
And nobody could ever answer that question. But when I came to paganism, I got those answers.
And what does the rabbits really have to do with the eggs? Since
well,
they're
just
chicken.
Both fertile. I mean, you know, rabbits are very fertile chicken. And eggs represent fertility. So it's all about the fertile part of the year.
Okay. So traditionally on Easter, sorry to interrupt, we all go see our families and we dye Easter eggs. What do you do?
I do the same thing, but I do it in the name of something different. And
so you all dye eggs and all?
Sure. Absolutely. Yep, they would have been considered gifts. I mean, just like Yule. I mean, the Christmas packages that, you know, traditional Christians put under the Christmas tree.
Right.
Ancient pagans put them in the trees. That's
yes,
where the
I heard
that's
that.
Where the tradition came from to begin with. You
so
were giving back to
the
gods for a good solid harvest in the next year. And the return of
the
sun. So what was that?
Do you have a tree? And do you put them
I do.
In there?
I do have a tree. I have a Yule tree. Absolutely, and I decorate it with traditional colors, which would be green and red and gold. Again, sound familiar?
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely, there's a lot of similarities. And the return of the sun in Christianity, of course, would be the birth of Christ. But at Yule, the return of the sun, you know, Yule is being the winter solstice, it's when the sun becomes more prevalent in the sky. So it's the actual sun in the sky instead of the sun, which is considered Jesus. So,
right.
Again, a lot of borrowed traditions there. But in any event, it continues on, and Beltane is in May. Letha is the summer solstice.
What do you do? Now slow down now.
Oh, okay.
I want to know what we're doing. I may be
you
coming.
Know what each one of them are? Oh, my goodness.
Because I might come at your doorstep. Give me a good one. I'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is
just celebrating each part of the year, each harvest, the planting season, the fertility season. At this point in October, of course, we're dealing with the final harvest. You know, we just had the full moon, which would have been the blood moon, and they call it the blood moon because that's when all the animals would have been slaughtered for the year, and there would have been a lot of traditions that would have occurred at that point that pagans would have followed. So it's just following the seasons and the way that they're flowing. And at this point, of course, we're at in October, and the next major or the greater of all Sabbaths is Samhain or Halloween.
Okay. So and is that the last one of the year before the
That would
Yule?
Be the last one, yes.
Okay. So and Halloween, you know, we're at that time of year now, which is one of the reasons I wanted you to come on. You know, tell us about Halloween because that is the one when people talk about witch, Wiccan, pagan. A lot of people go right there in their heads.
Sure.
You know, they are right there at trick-or-treating, and it's just, I know that it probably gets on your nerves, doesn't it? I mean, it's got to a little bit.
No, not really, because, I mean, really what they're practicing is my religion, unbeknownst to them.
Yeah, but their ignorance.
They are ignorant about it, yes. There's some ignorance that does surface, and, you know, I chalk that up to the fact that That's exactly what it is. They just don't know. You know, they're just not familiar with the holiday and the traditions, and that's
kind
of okay.
Well, tell us about that holiday, because I will admit that I know I'm among them,
sure,
and I would like to know more about that rather than the traditional, you know, secular Halloween.
Well, Samhain or Halloween would be considered the final pagan holiday of the year, so it's pretty much like pagan New Year. So instead of on December 31st, October 31st would be the end of the year. And it would certainly be a time when you would be setting up or making resolutions or setting goals for the following year. After Samhain, you're entering the dark part of the year. The god of the time at that time dies, goes back to the underworld, and is reborn again at Yule. So there's a lot of
Okay, so that is kind of the balance. You're going into the darker.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So tell me something. You talked about making goals. Mm-hmm. Is there a ritual that you do to make these goals?
Well, there's a ritual that I do to make the goals, but there's, you know, my ritual may be completely different than somebody else's. But traditionally, it's very common. What you see in the stores and things of that nature is it's all drawn from this particular pagan holiday. So, you know, just to break it down, I mean, when you're looking at Samhain or Halloween, as we approach October 31st, you know, the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead continues to thin. So the closer it gets to that particular day, the more likely you are to experience hauntings or mm-hmm. Ancestors from long ago trying to send you messages or communicate with you, or people that have just recently passed on may be able to cross back into the world of the living and interact with you much, much more easily. So it's the best time of year for divination, and most pagans and Wiccans alike would be practicing divination on that particular day. Not only to commune with the dead, but also to see what was coming for the future year. There is a tremendous amount of traditions that have occurred. A lot of them have to do with apples, remarkably enough. there's a lot of spells that you can do with apples at that particular time. So they also... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wanted to just backtrack when you were saying that would be the time when they do divinations, right? What are the most common mm-hmm. divinations that they would do? Then that would basically be to connect to their ancestry.
Well, yes. And really, what they would be looking for in most cases, I mean, at that point, the people that would be really doing practicing divination would be the young, unmarried girls trying to determine who their beau was going to be or who they were going to marry or how many children they were going to have. And there's just, you know, most of the typical divination at that time is surrounding that type of rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Casting the lot is something that's very common at that time. And that's a practice where you would just take three like objects, and anybody can do this. And it's fun. You can take it as serious as you like. I do it at Halloween parties a lot. but you just take three like objects. Let's say you just have three similar stones. On one side, you can just put a black mark on it if you like. I actually have three round smooth stones from Salem that I've used for years where I've just painted a pumpkin on one side and nothing on the other. And you can take those three stones and ask a yes or no question. You throw the stones or cast the lots. And if all three sides are the same, let's say, for example, if they're all three pumpkins, then your answer is yes. If there's no pumpkins, if they're all the blank side, then the answer is no. So this is the type of tradition that they would be doing at that time. They would be building bonfires. They would take stones and write the names of the people in the village on the stones and throw them into the fire, and the condition of the stone the next day would foretell what their next year was going to be like.
Wow.
So lots and lots of different types of divinational practices at that time.
Do you find that kind of, you know, archaic, or, I mean, is that something that you would do yourself?
I have other traditions that I follow, and that's really there's new terminology that a lot of folks use, that it's a neo-pagan. Someone who's uh-huh. a neo-pagan, it, you know, identifies, it kind of differentiates between the pagan of ancient pagans and their practices, which would be more like what we're talking about,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and pagans that would follow a more modern religious movement. And they could read tarot cards. They may cast the runes. Those things are things that are a little bit more modern, and
right.
those might be their choice, depending on which way you... Go ahead, what were you going to say?
No, just interesting, because even the runes, they're kind of ancient.
They are, but they're very... People would definitely know more about the runes than they would know about casting the lots. But you have to
right.
go buy runes. You can make your runes, but
sure.
you could go right now and use three pennies to cast lots. You just have to decide which side is yes. Is Lincoln yes or is Lincoln no? So you can use any object. So it just makes it a little easier. That's all.
So it's not just the eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
No.
And if, you know, I mean, if I didn't like the answer, I would just go, and my mother said to pick the very best one, and you are
That's
it.
Right.
And I would just make stuff up till I
go.
Got to who I want. So would you just keep casting the lots until you got your answer? Did you do best out of three?
That's really what you would do. That's funny that you would say that.
Yeah.
But it would be the best out of three. If you didn't get a solid yes or a solid no right off the bat, it would be the best two out of three.
All right. Very cool. Answer. Thank you. Yeah. I'm really interested in these holidays. I'm not sure which one you have the turkey at or whatever. Let me know where all the food is.
I'll invite you. Don't you worry.
So what I want to know is you mentioned spells.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really want to get a little bit more into that because I think that that's where, you know, people get confused and you said there has to be balance,
right?
You know, so if you cast a good spell, do people cast the bad spells and people want to know, are they real?
Well, I'll tell you one thing about this particular religion is there are a lot of folks who practice dark magic under the cloak of paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people have to be careful, especially, you know, younger, impressionable people that are coming into the religion that are looking for peace and finding their center and balance. They, you know, they very well could be thrown off balance if they're not practicing the right type of magic or casting the right type of spells. It's, again, you know, going back to the basics, do as you will, but harm none. You know, we have that threefold rule. Whatever you put out comes back three times, you know, comes back at you three times. So,
oh, your karma is a lot worse than mine.
There you go. So, yeah, it's not tit for tat. It's you put it out there mm-hmm. and it's bad, you're going to get it three times back. And
wow.
That's the philosophy that we follow. So if you're going to sit down and cast a spell or, you know, create a situation that's going to be negative for somebody else, I'm just going to tell the way that my personal belief is that you just don't do it. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people that would say, oh, I can protect myself so that my spell doesn't come back to get me. Okay. I suppose you can. But the fact of the matter is if you want to be a true pagan and you want to follow the Wiccan religion or the Wiccan tradition, you're just not going to do it because that's not part of the ground rules. So you just don't do it.
You know, and that was really going to be one of my upcoming questions
mm-hmm.
Is about what parents need to know. Because
right.
In my classes, I talk about Ouija boards and divinations, and mm-hmm. I really don't have a problem with any kind of Ouija board, really.
Right.
I just have a problem with kids using them.
Mm-hmm.
Because all this information you have shared with us today, quite frankly, a lot of kids are not listening. And
right.
they're just doing what media talks about. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you know, it's
absolutely.
A lot of the sensational information is out there for them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really mature enough, at least I think a lot of them, to make the right choices based on, you know, if they're in it for entertainment value or the need to fit in somewhere,
right?
You know,
right.
and I feel like that's very dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
So, what would you tell parents?
They just have to be aware of what their children are doing. I mean, it's just like with anything else. I mean, too much of something is bad. I mean, you have to be involved. And if your child is interested in participating in any type of or learning, if they're going to be involved in a group, you want to know what the group is all about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I flash back to the movie The Craft. It's one of my favorite movies. I'm an adult. I can put
yeah.
that movie in perspective.
Right.
But it's very well represented what happens when you go bad. You
mm-hmm.
have to follow the positive aspect of it, or it will come back to haunt you. And if you have a child that's interested in those things, there are certain writers that I would recommend that they, you know, look into. They're much more easy reading. I can't come up with a better way to say it. You just have to be careful at what they're following. You know, they can certainly get tied up in the wrong thing. And, you know, there's not to say that there aren't negative aspects of any religion. We all know there's negativity in the world, and we all know that there's people that follow a negative path. You know, Satanists are there. They're absolutely there. I don't care what you do. It doesn't make any difference
yeah.
to me. You can follow any religion you like, and Satanism is absolutely 100% a religion.
Sure,
it is,
but you
not
said you
a
have...
It's not a part of paganism. You know, we don't believe in the Christian god Satan. So that's something that when your child comes home and starts to talk about those types of dark things, they're not practicing Wicca. So those are the red flags that you need to keep in mind. You know, there's no killing of animals. There's no sacrificing anything. You know, we're a nature-based community. We don't, most pagans or Wiccans are vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly not going to sacrifice something if we won't even eat it. So you have to be, you know, you have to be aware of what's going on. Scott Cunningham is an author that I would highly recommend for anybody that was interested in getting into the pagan faith and learning more about Wicca specifically. Scott Cunningham has been, he's deceased, he's been gone for a long time, but his books continue to sell just hundreds of thousands of copies every year.
Okay, and do you know any the titles?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Scott Cunningham, people. Okay.
Yeah, that's
fine. So, because we want to, you know, it's okay to want to go that path and if you're attracted to it, but we want to do it responsibly.
Right.
You know, and you and I have personally seen kids that have not done it responsibly. And my concern is that, you know, you mentioned you have to, everything's in balance. So if you have to accept the, you know, the evil with the good. And kids might be actually drawn more to the evil. And they
especially
may not.
It's true. And I mean, especially children that are like bullied, let's say. You know, kids that are really trying to find a way to lash back. That's where you have to be concerned because they can certainly be drawn into a dark art that could be more harmful to them. You know, they may go out, they may be setting out initially to find a way to protect themselves. And they can do that through paganism and Wicca. They just have to make sure that they're staying on the right side of it. And just as a step back, it's Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham.
Okay, repeat it again.
Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner.
Okay, I've actually heard of that.
Yeah, it's a great book. At this point, he sold over 400,000 copies, and that is posthumous.
Wow,
so I mean, it's a fantastic book. So
that's incredible. So
anyway,
now I going back to spells in any case. Mm-hmm. If somebody were to say, you know, Kathy, can you put a spell on somebody for me? You know, I mean, what is your policy on that?
Absolutely not. I will not do that. If somebody were to come to me and say, hey, I really need the confidence to stand up in front of my class and give this book report, just as an example, can you help me with that? Sure. I can absolutely help you with that. You know, a spell is no different than a wish or a prayer. All it is gathering the energy that you need to send in that direction. You manifest your own destiny every single day.
I was going to say the law of attraction.
Absolutely. So if you continually tell yourself you're going to fail that test or you're going to fail, you know, your report's not going to be good or you're not going to meet that deadline, guess what? You are not going to meet that deadline.
That's right.
You have to build yourself into a positive way of thinking. And spells are just another way to do it. It's just another name, like I said, for a wish or a prayer.
Right.
I used to tell people when they came into the store and they'd say, do I have to have this candle? And do I need this stone? And should I have this incense or this particular, essential oil? I'm like, sure, you can have them, but they're really just props. And that was pretty tough for me to say, because since that's how I earned a living, but they really were just props. They're just other things that you can use in that spell. That's right. And they each have energies. Everything has an energy about it.
Right. We give them the power.
Right. If you are trying to, feel better about yourself, a pink candle or a pink stone carries the energy of self-love. So if you need that additional boost of energy to achieve that goal, then light your pink candle and hold your pink stone and just conjure up as much energy as you can to move in that direction. So I would prefer to tell somebody how to do it. I don't want to cast a spell for someone, and I certainly wouldn't want to cast a spell on someone. I wouldn't cast a spell on anyone who did not want me to cast a spell on them. So there's, but other people might.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, other people might do that, but not me.
That's very interesting because really, what you know. The law of attraction really works and it doesn't discriminate. And like you said, balance. I mean, your worst fears are going to be manifested as well as your greatest dreams.
Absolutely.
But you just took a lot of that scary black cloud over the spell casting, just totally threw it out the window.
Yeah. Well, that's where it belongs, out the window.
Yeah. Because it really is, it's about putting energy out there. I love that. You know, I like that analogy because it's not so scary.
It is. And the only reason you have all these things, I mean, in any one of the, Hollywood adaptations of what a spell might look like, you're going to see a lot of things on what they would consider their altar. It's no different than an altar in any other religion. They're just different tools. That's all they are. They're just tools to help you attain a higher level of vibration so that you can reach the level of energy that you need to see your goal come to fruition. That's all they are. And I have some pretty big knives. You've seen them yourself.
Yes. Yeah, they're
and,
scary.
You know, I'm not doing anything harmful with those knives. They have very specific purpose.
Well, that reminds me about the pentagram and the pentacle.
Correct.
Can you
correct.
Tell yeah. me what, tell us what they mean and what's the difference between pentagram and pentacle? I mean, for me, I'm like, okay, Star of David. That's all
right.
I'm looking at.
Definitely not the Star of David, no. The pentagram and the pentacle are similar symbolisms, and that's really all they are. They're just, you know, people associate those with, you know, upside down cross, an upside down pentagram or pentacle is associated with the devil, you know, and that's the way they want to, you know, Hollywood wants you to feel. There's a lot of different things that we as a culture in the different religious backgrounds that we have that help us identify with our gods and goddesses. Really, the star itself represents earth, air, fire, water, and Akasha. That's each point represents a different aspect of that.
Okay.
Just a regular star is a pentagram. A pentacle has a circle around it, and you can always remember that because pentacle and circle both end in CLE.
Oh.
So the pentacle is just basically the pentagram just surrounded by a circle. And, of course, a lot of people who practice spellcasting will cast a circle around them for protection. So that's really all that represents.
So the pentacle just adds protection?
Correct.
Okay.
And a lot of people use them as a protective talisman. You know, I have a couple of rings that have pentagrams on them, and of course I have necklaces and jewelry and things of that nature, and I carry them when I need them.
Just so our listeners understand why I brought that up with the swords, because I've seen you in action.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you swing that thing around
going
from one point to the other. And I'm sure you're saying something. I see your lips moving, but
Now, you're just creating a sacred space. You know, most people go to church to feel like they're in a sacred space. Pagans or Wiccans can go into any element, whether it be the woods or somebody else's house or wherever they are. They can create their sacred space with their what they call an athame, which is a special tool that we would use that would just separate us from the mundane world so that we would be in a contained, safe, protected bubble, basically.
It's so called an athame.
Because you're very vulnerable when you're in that state. You know, you're in deep concentration.
Sure.
You're almost in a meditative state. You're raising your energy. You certainly don't want anything to come into your space.
You called that an athame?
Athame. Yeah. It's athame. A-T-H-A-M-E.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I have a lot of looking up to do. So listen, I have before we get into the mailbag. Tell us, you do tarot readings. I know you're very good. I've had tarot readings from you before, and I know you'd offer them to the public. How can people get in touch with you?
Really, the best way to get in touch with me now is just to send me an email. The email address is the letter C and the word spelled out, what will come. And that's at AOL.com.
Very good. See what will come. I like
see
that.
What will
at
come.
AOL.com.
Right.
Okay, let me go over to the mailbag. Now, just besides my traditional emails, I also had turned to Facebook. And my Facebook fans actually have a few questions for you.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Well, actually, some of them we may have already answered in part, but
sure.
Let me scan through them, and maybe we can add to it as well. Diane wants to know, Kathy, do you believe in life after death?
Absolutely, but I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we all have a set of lessons that we have to learn, and that you will repeat lifetimes until you have learned all those lessons. You know, the lesson will repeat itself until it's learned. And if you don't learn it, by the time you've cycled through this life, you will come back to learn it again.
Sadly, I agree with you.
I'm trying to learn those lessons. I really am.
I know. Okay. And a lot of people that with the reincarnation, the way I always see it is, you know, we talk about new soul, old soul. I don't really believe in old souls. I believe that like if we come from there, from somewhere and we come here, what's to keep us from going back there and coming back here? But the question I have for you, kind of a part B, and it's not Diane's question, it's for me, is that in the afterlife, where do you go if it's not heaven, if it's not the traditional what you see? Where are you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different theories for that. Wiccans in particular consider the afterlife, after they've learned all their lessons, they spiral up to a place called Summerland. And Summerland would be very much like heaven.
Okay.
For me, my personal belief system is that you will be reincarnated until you've learned all your lessons. And once you have, then you'll be a guide for others to help learn their lessons as well. We know that there's guides all around us, right, Francine?
Absolutely.
It just depends on what tradition they came from and who they're going to help.
I was going to say, your guides, though, are they really like traditional spirit guides, or are they more of the gods and goddesses?
I definitely have spirit guides. Absolutely have spirit guides. It's not just the gods.
Okay.
I have ancestors and specific spirit guides that help me through different things, and it depends on what situation I'm in as to who it is that steps up to help.
Okay, so is Summerland a place you look up in the sky like we do for heaven?
Well, that's not really defined anywhere, but the terminology spiraling up mm-hmm. would kind of lead you to believe that it would be up, you know, that it's the same
right.
as heaven. Yeah. It's just ascending. It's an ascended place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're
okay.
ascending, then it's above where we are.
All right. Very good. And I believe I kind of glossed over what I meant about old soul, new soul, mm-hmm. was that I just don't believe that we're manufactured at different times, you know?
Right.
I mean, I just believe that some come here a little bit more often mm-hmm. than others, and maybe they have evolved a little bit more, you know?
Agreed.
So there are some souls that seem a little wiser because of their experience.
Absolutely.
So we're really kind of, a lot of things are you dispelling for us.
Great.
That just makes sense. I mean, Summerland is okay. I mean, I don't think it snows in heaven anyway, so I'm pretty sure that would be cool.
I want it to be summer. That's right.
Exactly. Okay, so, and I know this is not exclusive to your own beliefs, because mm-hmm. I also have the similar beliefs, but Vanessa would like you to share how you counteract bad energy and send your way and protect yourself from and your loved ones from outside influences.
Well, I definitely use herbs and stones to do that. Like I'd mentioned before, those are very prevalent in my particular practice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a term which I know that you're familiar with, Francine, but I don't know if, did you say Vanessa?
Vanessa, yes.
Yeah, the term of smudging, which is actually comes from Native American, and that's the beauty of paganism. You know, you can take things from different religious beliefs and different practices and really make them your own. And smudging is something that's really well received in a lot of different religions, I think. It's just basically sage, which is an herb that you can burn to clear negative space. Whenever I burn sage, I always burn sweetgrass after. Sage sweeps away the negativity. Sweetgrass reinforces it with positivity. And I am a huge proponent of hematite, which is just a black stone. It's not magnetic. Sometimes it can be, but that's not the type of stone that I'm talking about. Hematite is just a hard black stone. They make it into jewelry. You can carry it as just a regular stone, but what it does is it shields negativity. I wear it as a ring. I always wear it on my receptive hand so that I prevent the negativity from entering my being. So there's ways, after you cleanse yourself, there are cleansing rituals that you can bathe in different types of herbs. I mean, that's a whole completely different segment, trust me. But smudging initially and then carrying the protective crystals, stones, or herbs to continually block that negativity would be my recommendation.
And I know there are a million techniques.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, if it's something and your loved ones are under the same roof, you could put lines of salt around, kosher Celtic salt around your house. There's mm-hmm. a host
Rick
of things you could do, but
but
I like those. I mean, you
door.
And I are, yeah,
yeah,
you and I are on the page, same page about that. So
yeah.
I hope that helps you, Vanessa. Annie says, I'm interested in all of their gods. Do they have contact with them? And I'm thinking she's saying, do you have contact with them? And do they ever do you have contact with Hindu gods or Celtic gods or et cetera? And you had mentioned the different kinds.
Absolutely. And she would have to determine which pantheon or which gods she would most identify with. So if, you know, if there's Celtic, certainly tremendous amount of Celtic gods. And I started out really kind of leaning toward the Celtic because I do have Irish in my background.
Right.
And ended up in the Greek pantheon. But, they're going to communicate with you just like any other spirit or entity communicates with you. I just had a very profound communication with the goddess, with some very dear friends that visited us this weekend. Through conversation, I was led directly to a book, and into that book that I was going to be lending to this person, there was a page in that book that brought tremendous meaning to me. I won't even get into it, but it has now redirected me into back onto a path that I was on a couple of years ago and had walked away from. So that's how my goddess will communicate with me.
That's awesome. Signs. I love those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love those. Okay, so my next question was from Joanne, and I know you have higher sources, but Joanne wants to know, do you believe in God? And I guess she means in the way most people do, or a lot of
Christian
people do.
God. In the Christian
right.
God.
Right, so there's no real Godhead, as you said.
No, there really isn't, not for me. And I mean, I'm just going to just put that out there. If you're reading the Bible and you look in Genesis, you will see that the terminology gods with an S, which means plural, mm-hmm. is referenced. And in Revelation, it talks about the goddess. In my opinion, you have to have balance. So the traditional Christian God, I don't follow that path. That's mm-hmm. the best way I can answer that question.
Okay. I'm all for balance. I mean, there mm-hmm. are prayers that I do, and I do speak Mother, Father, God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But see, for me, it just simply means that there is no there is balance within that one entity. So mm-hmm. I don't actually see it necessarily as two different entities, but
sure.
But so I see the balance in the one.
The feminine and masculine aspect within one deity. Absolutely. Sure.
So last question from Facebook. Sandy wants to know if you teach the craft.
Mm. Well, you teach when you're called upon. So do I have a class? No. When I had the store, I did have a newsletter, and I had a bit of a blog, and there were certain people that I was helping along the way. I haven't done that in a very long time. Part of this whole page that I found in the book the other day may lead me back into that direction, just because it feels like the right time to do it. Mm-hmm. So the answer, no, I do not now, but I can't say that that won't change in the future.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the psychic says probably. So
probably. Well, we'll let you know when she does. You can check out our website.
Yeah.
So I just, it's been just really crazy today. We went longer than I thought we would. I was hoping we would. There's so many other questions I really want to ask you, to be honest with you, but that's just the way it is. And I want everybody to know that you are located in South Central PA,
mm-hmm.
but they can actually, do you do tarot by phone?
I can, yes. I will do tarot by phone, yeah. And if they want to contact me via email, I can explain to them how I would do that.
Okay, and that is C, letter C, what mm-hmm. will come at AOL.com.
Correct.
So, Kathy, it was so great to have you on and talk about your religion and your systems with belief systems with us, because that mm-hmm. really has cleared a lot for me. So it has to have done for others. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You take care of yourself.
You too. Talk to you
we'll
soon.
Talk soon. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, thanks, friends, for being on the show. We're really appreciative that you join us each and every episode. So until next time, much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at FrancineMilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.